This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Right now, the American Southwest is experiencing one of the worst droughts on record. The past 22 years are considered the worst dry spell in 1,200 years.
Unprecedented water restrictions are being ordered for 6 million SoCal residents as the Metropolitan Water District declares a drought emergency.
The state's reservoirs are alarmingly low.
About 80% of New Mexico is facing extreme drought.
Cuts in water delivery to both Arizona and Nevada will happen next year.
Since much of the West is experiencing this mega drought and many Californians face water restrictions, conserving water is an important step. But while conservation may mitigate water shortage, it's not a permanent solution to the problem of limited sources of water, especially in Southern California. So that means we're gonna have to get inventive. One solution to creating new sources of drinking water could be using recycled wastewater. Yes, recycling the water from our sinks and showers and even our toilets to be used as drinking water. And I get it. This might seem like a kind of unsavory solution to the water woes, but this process is already being used around the world, and even in Orange County, California, which has the world's largest wastewater recycling facility. So, could this be the future of our drinking water? I spoke with Dr. Daniel McCurry, assistant professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of Southern California.
Not all water that we treat and produce is necessarily potable. So especially on the West Coast, you may have seen purple pipes at some point, especially next to like a golf course or something like that. That's what we call non-potable recycled water that's treated to a lower standard because it's only going to be used for, you know, watering grass and things like that. By contrast, potable means it's safe for human consumption.
Okay. And are there the same standards everywhere for what constitutes potable water, or is that a state-by-state thing?
So it depends. So if you are talking about tap water, like ordinary tap water that we would make out of, you know, lakes or rivers or groundwater in most of the U.S., that's regulated by the federal government. So the EPA has standards for more than 80 different chemicals and pathogens, for instance, and the plants all have to test for these things and make sure that they're below the regulatory thresholds. For recycled water, on the other hand, right now it's really a state-by-state framework. You know, there's not recycled water plants in every state, so you probably wouldn't find regulations for it in, North Dakota or something like that. So each state kind of sets their own rules up, although a lot of them look to California. We have the largest water reuse plant in the world here and are kind of seen as a leader in the area. So I suspect that any future, let's say, nationwide water reuse regulations might look kind of like California's.
All right. Now, before we get to the wastewater, because I don't think people always know even where their tap water typically comes from, right? You ask people, where's your water come from? And they're like, the tap.
Yeah, of course.
So like, it's right there. So help us to understand, even if we're not talking about wastewater, if we're talking about maybe more what we'll call traditional sources, how much work has to be done to go from that source to potable?
Quite a bit. And in places like California, especially Southern California, where, you know, we don't have a whole lot of water that naturally falls here, we use a lot more water than nature provides. First, we have to bring it to ourselves. And so in Southern California, about 90% of our water is imported from hundreds of miles away through a huge, impressive system of aqueducts that's ultimately filled by snowmelt for the most part. So, you know, in maybe the eastern half of the country, that's not such a concern. But in much of the West, the water has to travel a long way. That might involve pumping it. For instance, in Los Angeles, our water has to go over a 2,000-foot mountain pass, which consumes an enormous amount of energy.
So after it's come that long way, right, after it's consumed this energy, then what does it take to get it to a drinkable tap water stage?
Sure. So there's a fairly standardized set of processes at this point that are used for tap water production from raw surface water in the U.S. First, we often add a chemical called a coagulant to make particles, you know, could be dirt, could be bacteria, anything that's a particle floating around in the water. We want to get rid of that first. And so we add a chemical called a coagulant. It's often based on aluminum or iron. And that causes the particles to stick together and become larger. Once they're large, they'll settle out more quickly if you just hold the water kind of slow in a big tank. And then there might be, after a sedimentation step where those particles are allowed to settle out, there's typically then a filtration step after that. So we filter out any remaining particles. And then the last main step is disinfection. So that's often done in the U.S. with just chlorine bleach, or sometimes things like ozone or UV light can be used as well.
Okay, now let's get to the one that everybody on my team, since we've started talking about this, has been calling poop water. So to help us understand, what is wastewater and why in the world would we want to recycle it?
Sure, yeah. Well, the reason we would want to recycle it is because it's there. We're simply running out of water in many parts of the country and world. And, you know, when the well runs dry, you'll drink just about anything. But to answer your question maybe more directly, what wastewater is, it's kind of a polite term for sewage. And it's, you know, what gets flushed down the toilet, but also what goes down the shower drain, what goes down the drain of businesses and things like that. When that enters what we call the wastewater treatment plant, the goal of that treatment is just to raise the quality of the water up to a level where we can safely put it in the environment. So, you know, it goes through a few processes to remove a bunch of chemicals and things like that from the wastewater. And then at most wastewater plants, that just gets sent into the environment, which would typically mean either a river or an ocean or something like that, maybe a lake if you're on the Great Lakes. And then if you're interested in going from that then to making drinking water out of it, we have this middle step where we kind of close the urban water cycle, if you will. So the classical paradigm is we have a river, we take the water out, we make tap water out of it, it becomes wastewater, that wastewater gets treated and discharged downstream into the river. So in closing that cycle, what we're doing is instead of just putting it back into the environment, we're going to take that treated wastewater effluent, which is again only treated to a level for safe ecological discharge, and then we subject it to some very, very intense treatment processes before it then goes essentially to the front of a drinking water plant, or in some cases is put into something like a groundwater aquifer, the wet dirt underneath the ground where groundwater lives, so that it can be pulled back out and treated as future groundwater.
Okay, so right now though, where we're sending wastewater, does it ever end up sort of getting recycled one way or another?
Absolutely. So nearly all water is recycled depending on your definition of it. So for instance, there's a lot of good examples in the US of this. So Pittsburgh, for instance, gets water out of a river, treats it, uses it, it becomes wastewater, they treat that wastewater and send it down into the Ohio River. Now, of course, downstream there are more cities. So for instance, a couple miles down the river, or a couple hundred miles rather, when Cincinnati gets its drinking water out of the Ohio River, a certain percentage of that is Pittsburgh's treated wastewater. We call this de facto reuse and has been happening essentially since the dawn of time. There are many other even more extreme examples. So for instance, in Texas, the Trinity River, which flows from Dallas to Houston and supplies some of Houston's drinking water. Before wide-scale human civilization, that river used to be dry during certain parts of the year, and now it's not because it's full of Dallas's treated wastewater. And so, you know, if you're living in Houston, you're doing quite a bit of drinking recycled wastewater, whether that's, you know, acknowledged or not.
We've got to take a quick break. More on the future of drinking water in just a moment.
This week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, I'll talk with psychologist Jonathan Haidt about his book, The Anxious Generation.
We're overprotecting in one place, and I'm saying, lighten up, let your kids out. And we're underprotecting another, and I'm saying, don't let your kids spend 9 hours a day on the internet talking with strange men. It's just not a good idea.
Jonathan Haidt on the New Yorker Radio Hour from WNYC Studios. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Now, parts of the world, including Southern California, are running out of sources of drinkable water.
My God.
But don't panic. One solution might be closer than you think. Recycled wastewater. We asked you if you'd be willing to drink recycled wastewater, if it were treated and safe. And we got a mix of responses.
So Steve in Phoenixville, PA, there's inevitably going to be a water shortage. And if we can recycle water, then I'm all for it. I'll be first in line to take a big gulp.
Heck no. Not drinking that stuff, ever.
Hi, my name is Jody, and I'm calling from Burbank. I'm not sure how I feel about reclaimed wastewater, but I suppose if I was drinking it, I just wouldn't want to know about it.
Hi, my name is Mary. I'm calling from Oakland. Mixed feelings. The idea sounds disgusting. I also think that before we're having to drink our wastewater, we outlaw lawns, watering grass, and other non-native and non-edible plants.
Let's get back to my conversation with Dr. Daniel McCurry. He walked us through the environmental effects of what we've been calling poop water.
you know, of course, most places would rather use a traditional water source if they can for all their water, you know, a river or groundwater or something like that. Once that option is off the table, and in a place like LA, if we wanted more traditional water, we would have to go find it ourselves. We're already maxing out what is provided in these aqueducts. So we'd have to, I don't know, build an even longer aqueduct or something like that. So once we've exhausted our traditional water sources, the main two things that we can turn to are either seawater desalination or wastewater recycling. And wastewater reuse is a much greener option for a couple of reasons. One is that seawater desalination, meaning making ocean water into something drinkable, into fresh water, consumes an enormous amount of energy. It just takes a lot of pressure to push salt water through those very tight reverse osmosis membranes to get fresh water on the other side. So recycled wastewater consumes a lot less energy to produce than desalinated seawater. The other reason why wastewater reuse is greener as an option is because, so when you desalinate seawater, people typically picture you're taking a gallon of seawater and turning it into a gallon of fresh water and a little pile of salt. But what actually happens is you take that gallon of seawater and you turn it into a half gallon of fresh water and a half gallon of double salty seawater that we call brine. And then that brine has to be disposed of. And you might think, well, in a place, you know, on the coast, you could just put it back in the ocean. But the organisms, the marine life in the ocean, aren't used to double salty seawater. And so it can create dead zones if we discharge that brine in a sort of careless manner. It's even, you know, maybe a more extreme example if you're further inland and there's nowhere to put it, you know, in the ocean. And so then you have to think really carefully about what to do with that brine. Wastewater reuse, by contrast, forms much, much less brine just because there's a lot less salt to get out of it.
And yet, no matter how you say it, no matter how much science there is, there's also this kind of human disgust factor, right? That wells up in us when we think about using tap water. It's maybe one thing to water the golf course with it. Maybe one thing to use it to even to wash my clothes with, right? But if you talk to me about drinking it, it feels icky. How do we get past that?
You know, one option is just sort of public outreach campaigns to educate people that in a sense, all water is recycled. You know, the de facto reuse example with the rivers I was talking about earlier can maybe change people's attitudes about this. Also just recognizing, you know, all water used to be dinosaur pee, right? It's all been on the earth for millions of years. So it's gone through somebody's body at some point in the past. I really think that we need to start thinking less about where water came from and more about what's in it. I think the other option is for the water recycling plants as they open to be as public facing as possible. And they've done a really good job of this at Orange County Water District's reuse plant, which is the largest in the world. It's the cleanest water treatment plant I've ever been to. They have public tours pretty much every day. And so you can see all the treatment steps that go from wastewater to something that's drinkable. And at the very end of the plant, there's actually a tap with a big stack of cups right there. And they almost dare you, just go for it. I think just seeing how it's made and where it comes from will do a lot for many people to alleviate those concerns.
You know, for folks who have been following various water crises, whether it's the Flint water crisis, whether it is, you know, the realities of contamination, you know, and this sort of push for clean water, the notion of clean and drinkable water as being a human right, our acknowledgement of how difficult it is to get this kind of water in various parts of our own country and around the world. How then to convince me, right, that wastewater recycling is moving me away from a Flint problem as opposed to towards it?
You know, maybe one answer is that recycled wastewater is subject to much tighter scrutiny than just ordinary tap water production because of this problem of public perception that it's gross. And so, you know, California, for instance, they're in the middle of writing their regulations for so-called direct potable reuse right now, which is where the recycled wastewater goes directly to the drinking water plant. It doesn't go back in the environment first. And it is a very, very long public-facing process where these rules are made. And you could Google the draft rules right now. You know, they're still writing them and finalizing them, but they're, I think, making a great effort to be transparent about it. The other thing is to recognize that, you know, part of the problem in Flint was technical, because there are ways, relatively easy ones, that we can control something like lead corrosion. And that just wasn't done when the city switched from one source of water to a different one, because they didn't have the right level of expertise, I suppose, or maybe deliberately ignored certain experts who told them how to control that lead. And so I think that the key takeaway there is that, you know, through engineering and through technical expertise, as long as we take it seriously, we should be able to overcome any water quality challenge, as long as sufficient care is given to it.
If you were called by a municipal water board to help them think through how to be public facing in this way,
have you thought about what the name of your poop water campaign or wastewater recycling campaign would be? What would you call it?
The term toilet to tap has been used for I would say decades now as a slander against water reuse. But one starting point might be just, you know, reclaiming that. Maybe taking pride in the fact that we can take something like, you know, what gets flushed down the toilet and make it into something drinkable. I don't know. So people smarter than me at this kind of problem have thought about it. And so in, for instance, Singapore, where a decent chunk of their water is recycled, they call it new water. So that's maybe a way of you know, removing the poop water connotation from it. Similarly, at Orange County, the plant I was talking about, they don't call that a water recycling plant. They call it the groundwater replenishment system. So what they're saying is we're taking wastewater, making new groundwater to put back in the ground to replace all the groundwater that we took too much of many decades ago unsustainably. And so, you know, maybe just through some clever turns of phrase like that, you can shift perceptions a bit.
I love this. So either you go with euphemisms or you go right for it. Toilet to tap, right? Like Americans, we're so badass, we can take our water from toilet to tap. I gotta say.
Exactly. I mean, they do it on the space station, right? And that's one of the, you know, the coolest things we've built.
Oh, pause. Say one more beat about that. What's happening? The astronauts are drinking this?
Yeah, for sure. Water's been recycled on the space station for, I suppose, decades now.
I suppose it hadn't occurred to me where they get their water in space.
Right. There's no rivers on the space station or on the moon or anything. So that, yeah, it has to go around in the same cycle many times.
Oh, that's actually very helpful. Right. Because if there were rivers in space, we would just probably go colonize and then pollute another planet real quick.
Right. We would have built an aqueduct to space by now if there was a big river up there.
Definitely. There'd be a huge Mars to U.S. Pipeline that would be much harder to actually stop the construction of. Dr. Daniel McCurry, Assistant Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at the University of Southern California. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.